Love you, brother.
And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Thank you so very much. It's so good to be here today with you. The Lord has given us such a wonderful day. Fills our hearts with love. It's an amazing thing. I would prefer that these two elders would take the time. They're both so precious to me. It's been so long since I heard Brother Gary. I won't take much time this morning. But I would like to say that Lord has my mind on the second chapter of Philippians. At the first verse, it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, in any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not unto man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Brother Gary this morning was talking about those valleys in life and those pinnacles and being on the top of the mountain. And a lot of times we will put ourselves in a valley.
Yes.
And it seems to be all about us.
Right.
It's all about what we want. And if we don't get our way, sometimes we're like babies.
Yep.
We get upset. Wrath shows. We say things that we don't want to say. And yet that's the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I don't know about you, but my flesh is something I don't like. Sometimes we have to understand that God is God, and that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And we need to repent.
Amen.
When we feel that we're in the flesh, when we know that we are not doing the things according to the inward man, but fulfilling the old man and doing the things that we should not. It is such a blessing for the Lord and the way that He teaches us. And the Apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If it's all about us, it's not going to work, brothers and sisters. We need to think upon the things of our brothers and sisters, of our spouses, of our loved ones. Put them first. We're to esteem others higher than ourselves. That's the way our Jesus Christ walked this earth. He was all about the business of His Father in heaven. We want Him to be our leading force in this life. And we cannot have that if we're all about ourselves. God bless you. It's good to be with you this morning.
I don't know about you. That was good. You said a whole lot in a little while.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by,
I do with Brother Darrell.
No, sir.
It's tempting. It is indeed a joy to be with you this hour. For those who have asked and for those who are wondering, Sister Gladys is in South Carolina. That's why she's not here. But Lord willing, she'll be at the ordination on Saturday. I enjoyed Brother Darrell, and I was thinking about our prayer request. And everywhere we look, there's a need. Everywhere we look, God's children are in the midst of those troubles and trials that we read about in Scripture. You know, the ones that we think are never going to come our way. But yet Scripture tells us that man born of a woman, while but of a few days, those few days are going to be full of troubles. And sometimes when they come our way, as Brother Darrell had indicated, if the Lord would shine light on those things, yes, sometimes we are the instigator thereof. We are our biggest trouble as we sojourn in this time world. I want to go to a psalm today that I trust the Lord will use to benefit us all. I want to read the whole psalm. It's only a few verses. And it's the 61st Psalm, if you have your Bibles with you. And it reads this way. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacles forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. For thou, O God, hast heard my name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vow." Sweet song. And it speaks volumes, brethren, of not only that which God's children go through, but how we are to react to those troubles and problems that we heard about during prayer time and that Brother Darrell preached about. You know, when we think about God, which I trust that we do every moment of our lives, but there are times that we would be blessed to confess, as Brother Darrell indicated, it's good for us to do that. There are times that we don't think about Him. There are times that we're just sort of, it does become all about us and our fixes and our solutions, but if we are blessed to understand that God is God, He's not our best buddy, He's not our neighbor down the street, but He is a near and present help to us in a time of trouble. Our God, brethren, is He's beyond our explanations. For He has indeed created this world and all that therein is. And that includes us, by the way. I mean, sometimes we think of His creation and we want to exclude ourselves like we are some kind of other entity that we just sort of... But God created us in His own image. Yes, we felt in there and we have sin in our lives and sometimes we're all about sin. When we get all about ourselves, that's exactly where we are. In a fleshly way. But to understand that God is a God, brethren, who hears our cry. We cry unto the Lord our God. We're not just crying in vain. We're just not beating the air. We're crying unto Him who is able, brethren, who doth hear us, and who is able, brethren, to deliver us through and out through our trials and out of our trials, whatever they might be. It doesn't really matter what the trial is. It doesn't matter how great it might seem to us or how insignificant it might seem to us. God is God. And when we fail to remember who He is, we find ourselves all over the place. I mean, we're just confused and we're out in this world and we're fending for ourselves. Well, brethren, it was never intended for God's children to live that way. Yeah, we know we have that old nature. And we know that the writer says that while we would do good, evil is always present. And when we would strive to do those things that we want to do, we find ourselves doing them anyway. Yeah. But even with all of that, brethren, that's no excuse for us just to kind of throw these things aside and run them up. And neglect, brethren, to do our duty, which is indeed to go unto Him, brethren, who has not only delivered us in an everlasting way, but continues to deliver us each and every hour of our lives. Yeah. You see, when we neglect to do that, brethren, we think about neglecting to assemble ourselves, there's a consequence for that when you neglect to do that. But when we neglect, brethren, to acknowledge and to recognize who He is, the consequences are even greatly severe. I mean, brethren, because we find ourselves out of fellowship. I mean, if I'm out of fellowship with God, how am I going to be in fellowship with you? I mean, or how am I going to be in fellowship with my spouse or my family or anybody else in this world when I'm out of sync with He, brethren, who has loved me with an everlasting love, who has quickened me and brought me out of nature's darkness, and who has revealed to me His darling Son? If I neglect all of that, brethren, how will it be with me in this world? It won't be good at all. You won't want to be around me, and I won't want to be around you. You see, brethren, that love that we enjoy, brethren, that peace that we enjoy, it comes from walking in obedience. Not like a puppet. That's not what I'm saying. But walking in obedience to the Lord our God. Jesus said unto us, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, brethren, just because we're under grace, we don't throw the Bible away and forget it. Well, you know, I don't have to worry about it. No, you don't have to worry about it because heaven will be your home, but you do have to worry about it if you want to have joy unspeakable and full of glory as you sojourn in this time world. Amen. You need to worry about it. You see, brethren, because it is doing those things. It did not the prophet when he went to Saul, and you know, Saul, Saul was given a task by God, and Saul, who God raised up to be a king of his people, Saul was given a task to do. And Saul went and he did it his way. You know, so when the old prophet comes to Saul, and Saul has all these reasons why he did not do what the Lord our God told him to do. In fact, he started off the conversation that I have done what God has told me to do. How many of us find ourselves doing that? I've done what God. Have you really? Have I really? Have any of us really? And the old prophet says, if you've done what God says, I'm paraphrasing here, what is this bleeding of the sheep in my ears? I mean, what is this I hear if you said that you have done what God told you to do? Oh, well, it was because of the people, you see. It wasn't my ideal, but, you know, the people wanted to sacrifice unto God. So I kept. So we kept some of these sheep here. Well, that is not what God told you to do, is it? He told you to kill them all. To leave nothing. And not only did you do that, you have the king here, which you were supposed to kill as well. And don't get me wrong, brethren, God is not sending you out on a mission to kill anybody. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is God sent Saul on a mission, and brethren, God sends us on missions, and we utterly fail just like Saul did. And yes, we have every excuse in the book just like Saul did. But what did the prophet say? God prefers obedience over sacrifice. In other words, what you think God wants you to do, forget about it. Do what he asks you to do. Don't interject your own thoughts because they're natural. As good as you think your thought might be, it is just as naturally minded as you are. And I'm not picking on you. That same thing applies to me. It applies to all of us, brethren. And see, when we begin to understand that we as God's children, and when I said we, God's children are as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. We're not just talking about us who happen to be assembled here today. All of God's children have these same issues, brethren. But you, brethren, have been blessed with much. Thus much is required of you. In other words, you are without excuse.
Right.
You know, brethren, we can say, well, I didn't know. Well, brethren, we're declaring that to you right now. So are you listening or not? I mean, Brother Gary gets up here, he preaches to you. Do you listen to what he says? I mean, brethren, God has blessed ministers to stand before you. We're not standing here. This is not a show. This is not a game, brethren. It's to declare the word of God. That is what our duty is, brethren. And your duty is to listen to the word of God and apply it to our lives. And that's why ministers like to have visiting ministers. We need to hear it to apply it to us as well. You see, brethren, we're all as God's children, brethren. We all need to take heed, brethren, and realize who we are. Realize that we are children of the Most High God. We're not just any Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Mary Sue, or Jane. Or we're children of the Most High God. And he has sent his son, brethren, to purchase us. And that purchase, brethren, that purchase was with the precious blood of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, who was without sin at all, but he became sin, not for himself, but for you and I. And for all of those that God gave him in the covenant of grace, even before time was. I like that what Brother Danny said. He had the plan, made the man. that was good. But you see, God, brethren, God is not an afterthought God like we are. Oh, you know, I should have did it this way. Oh, I forgot to do that. God is all-knowing, brethren. He's not like us in that sense, brethren. So we ought not to be comparing our thoughts to God's thoughts. Scripture tells us that his thoughts are so high that we can't attain them to him. So why do we think that we're thinking like God? You're not. Forget about it. You're not. You never will be able to. His thoughts are too high for us to attain.
Amen.
It would be sufficient for us, brethren, simply just to heed to his word. Don't try to think his thoughts. Heed his word. He's already told you what he thinks. He's already in his word, brethren. He has given you those things that we ought to be about as God's children. And the psalmist says here, O God, attend unto my prayer. You know, brethren, when we think about prayer, Scripture says pray without ceasing. We know that the disciples asked the Lord, they talked about John, and it says, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we have that model of prayer in the Gospels where, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, brethren, holy be the name of the Lord our God. And so when the psalmist says here, attend unto my prayer. You know, I get on this thing and fortunately I don't get as many emails as I do because people just don't email me anymore, which is not, that's not a complaint. Don't email me. But when God's children send these prayers, an email says, send this to 10 more people, and you'll be blessed. Brethren, that just sort of gets to me. that is not our guideline as to how we ought to be praying. Brethren, prayer comes from the heart, and Scripture says that when we don't know how we ought to pray, that the Spirit intercedes. And utters those things that we're unable to utter ourselves, brethren. God equips us and gives us all that we need, brethren, in the way of praying to him. So if we don't know how to pray, we simply get on our knees and says, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Teach me what I should say, what I should ask. Teach me how I ought to live and conduct myself. You see, brethren, God supplies us with all that we need in this time and world. He says, from the end of the earth, which simply means, brethren, I don't care where I am. I don't care what circumstance of life it might be, because the Lord has promised me that I will be with you all the way, even throughout the end of time and all the way, brethren. Simply mean every aspect of life. He doesn't care what's going on, where you might be, what the problem might be. But from the ends of the earth, brethren, cry unto the Lord our God, who is our near and present help in a time of trouble. And brethren, that we haven't figured out yet, well, let me tell you this one thing. Every moment of our lives in this time world is a time of trouble. If we haven't figured that out yet, well, I'm going to wait until I have trouble, and then I'm going to cry unto the Lord. Brethren, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, brethren, because if you're waiting, you're already in trouble, brethren. So we need to remember, brethren, pray without ceasing, realizing that every single moment for God's children is a time of trouble. Even when we're blessed to enter into this little Bethel spot and be lifted up. What the Scripture tells us? That even when we would do good, evil is always present. Who do you think is sitting there next to you in the pew?
Right.
Huh? Well, yes, Sister So-and-so is sitting there. But who else do you think is there? If it's not your adversary who seeketh to devour you. You see, brethren, if evil doesn't follow us, then we go follow it. You know, our natural sense, we just kind of uncomfortable not having it around us, you see. It's just, life is just too peaceful. You know, we got to steer it up a little bit. We got to get in that flesh a little bit, but brethren, when we do those things, brethren, we're contrary to, we walk contrary, because Scripture tells us to resist. And he will flee from you. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed. You know, I know that we can put all kinds of spin on that. When my heart is faint. It doesn't mean, brethren, that... let me give you a... You remember the scripture where the disciples are in a boat and the winds are boisterous? Okay, that's kind of like being overwhelmed
yeah.
in a real sense. But think about it in a more subtle way. You see, because it's likened to... if I get ready to get up in my back, you know, and I stand up at what's better, right? We sometimes react to life circumstances that way. Oh, that wasn't that big, so I don't need to cry out that the Lord might lead me to that rock. I need to wait for something more bigger than that. You see, when we do that, brethren, we find ourselves being truly overwhelmed in a natural sense, as well as spiritually. But I think what God is telling us here, brethren, even in those small little faint times, even in those times that we don't think it's really as serious as we think it might be, that we need to, brethren, be crying out to God, that God leads us and leads us and points us in the right direction. In a way, lead us to that rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. You know, that when the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed, brethren, we don't want to wait until we're drowning. We don't want to wait until, you know, if that life vest doesn't come, I'm a goner. We don't want to wait for that, brethren. God would have it, brethren, that we would always be in a mind, brethren, that we need to be led to that rock. That we would need to always remember that when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and in doing that, we do acknowledge Him, you see. We acknowledge, brethren, to God that I'm a sinner, brethren, dear God, and everything that I look at it is tainted by me. It's tainted by my sinful nature. Yes, even though that new creature in me would desire to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord our God, that old nature of mine, brethren, is tainted, brethren. So I need the Lord in everything I need to do. I need indeed to acknowledge Him, brethren, knowing and understand that He shall direct my path as He has promised
Amen.
That He will do.
Amen.
You know, brethren, God is a near friend in the time of trouble. And those that He's nigh unto those that cry unto Him, you see. If we get anything out of this psalm, just remember, brethren, that God is a near help to us. And at every moment is a time of trouble. We need Him, brethren, in every circumstance of life. And we're to acknowledge Him, brethren. When we cry out to Him that He attend unto our prayers, brethren, realizing that the Lord hears your cry. He hears you. And brethren, even when we mess up, even when we ask foolishly, brethren, just remember that God understands where you are. And He, just like He delivered you out of nature's darkness, He's able to deliver you out of your state regardless of where you are and what might be going on in your lives. God is God, brethren. He is. And isn't He marvelous? I mean, brethren, just think about what joy we have been given. Brethren, when I said we've been given much, brethren, you know, to understand what unmerited grace really means. That we are poor sinners. We were without God or any hope in this world. But God purposed, brethren, that He would love a people. And that we have been given that hope that we're among that number, you see. And that hope that we have, brethren, is not a foolish hope. But you know why it's not foolish? Because the hope that you have, God gave it to you. And our God is not a foolish God. Our God lieth not. Brethren, our God, He is righteous and just, and everything that He do is holy, brethren. Which includes your regeneration, brethren, when He brought you out of nature's darkness, you had nothing at all to do with it.
Amen.
And you could not resist His hand or His power. Nor can you resist the love of God, which is beyond our understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
These brethren have already preached to us this morning. I thank the Lord for that which He has given them. I stand before you in need of your prayers. I know they were cut their time a little short, and wish they hadn't done that. I was enjoying what both of them had to say, but I want to be faithful to the Lord too, that if it is my time to speak before you, I pray that He'll give me that which I need and I'll be faithful, as much as I was just hoping they'd be able to pass me by this morning. I've truly enjoyed the preaching and thank God for what we've already heard. I've had a passage of scripture on my mind all week that I'd like to read in your hearing. I won't take a great deal of time with it, I trust, but I hope I will be faithful to the Lord, and what He lays upon my heart we'll be able to share with you, and that the Lord would give you the hearing ear and a seeing eye and a heart to understand, as well as me a tongue of utterance to be able to share. It's been a blessing to me this week to think about the passage. I know how you brethren are, though. Sometimes you'll have a passage on your mind all week, and you think, boy, I can't hardly wait to get to church to share this. And when you get in the stand, it just all be seemingly closed. Some brother said it this way, it's what the Lord gave you for the week, not for Sunday. And so I pray that I'm not doing that, but it has been a blessing to me this week. It's been a help. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you a very familiar account. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21, we'll read down through verse 28. This is a dear little sister that came to the Lord that got a response from the Lord that's quite unusual in the scripture, and certainly teaches us a great deal. All scripture, we're told in the Bible, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So every account that's written in the Word of God is written for our learning, whether it's Old Testament or whether it's New Testament. And certainly this passage teaches us much about how we are to approach the Lord. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He's coming from the Sea of Galilee and here going to Capernaum. I mean, from Capernaum to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon were primarily Gentile cities. And he was going right to the coast. Remember, the scripture says when the Lord taught his disciples, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but to go along to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't going contrary to that. He was still among Israel, but he was right on the border of that Gentiles. And I'm thankful to know that the Lord does have a people among the Gentiles. We hope that, don't we? Today, if that's not the case, then we're certainly in trouble. We read over in the book of Ephesians where the Apostle Paul talked about those who were
Gentiles in accord to the flesh, and what a mess they were in. And we can say it this way, what a mess we are in without the grace of Almighty God. What a mess this little sister was in as a Gentile. What a mess you and I are in as Gentiles. Not just Gentiles in the flesh, we're still Gentiles in a sense in the flesh, but Gentiles in the sense spiritually, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without hope, without Christ, without the blessings of God, without the covenant, without the promise. What a mess our lives would be if we didn't have any of those things. The good news is this, those who are in Christ Jesus have been drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. And this little sister, I believe, was one who was of the elect of God, one of God's little children, but Jesus had traveled actually 30 miles. If you look at the distance here, I tried to get my little map out and look at Capernaum to Tyre and Sidon. And he had traveled 30 miles. And the account here just talks about Jesus going to that one place, seeing this one sister, and then coming back to where he was. He had gone all that distance. And it looks like when he's there, he didn't even go to see her. She came to see him, but it didn't look like he was very interested in her at all. Sometimes we'll read that and we'll think, well, the Lord seems a little harsh with this little sister. Well, I want you to know when you're reading those accounts and you're reading the Bible, remember that Jesus knows who he's talking to. He knows what he's going to do. He knows the end of what was going to happen before it ever happens. And when his communication is with them, he knows how it's going to end up. You and I have to read it. Right now in our life, you and I don't know how the day is going to end, do we? Isn't it good to know that Jesus does? We don't know what this week's going to be like. We don't even know that we're going to have this week. But isn't it good to know the Lord does? And our life, we don't know how long we got in this world. We don't know whether we have today, a week, a month. You know, Brother Roger Frazier, they told him it would be a matter of days. That's from the doctor's viewpoint. You and I don't know whether our life is a matter of days or whether we have many years. Some of you young folks think, well, I'm glad I'm not old like Brother Gary. I got a long time. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. And sometimes I look at my life and think it's right short, but I don't know that either. I don't know how much time the Lord gives me. I know He's given me today, this moment, this hour. And I know that He has my life in His hands, just like He had this sister's life in His hands. And I know that I need to do what she did, and that is trust Him, no matter what comes as a result of that. Because His promise, you can count on them. This little sister knew that. Jesus had traveled 30 miles and seemed to be, if you read over in Mark's account in Mark 7, it seems to be that Jesus is trying to hide away so He can be away from everybody. He'd been with the Pharisees and they sure acted ignorant. You can see why He left them because He taught them, but they didn't want to hear what He had to say. And so He left those of the Pharisees. He left the Jews. And He went away. And it seemed to be Him and His disciples were going to spend some time alone just to be separate. But I believe there was much more. The scripture says over in Mark 7, I'd like to turn, you look at it later, but it says He could not be hid. Do you suppose Jesus couldn't hide? Do you suppose if Jesus really didn't want to have anybody around Him and didn't go to see anybody and didn't want them to be there, that He didn't have the power for a moment to be away from them all? It seemed as if He was going to be away from everybody, but I believe the whole account, I believe His whole purpose for going was there was a little sister that was coming from the Gentile nations out to see Jesus because she had need of Him, and He loved her, and He had a purpose in their communication. She was grieved in her heart because she had a little daughter that had a devil. And she didn't have any answers for that. And she had been given faith by the Holy Spirit to call Jesus Lord. Do you know if you can call Jesus Lord today, you didn't get that on your own? If you're able to know that Jesus is a Savior who has all power, you didn't get your understanding of that on your own. The Bible tells us that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had given her a wonderful gift. She had many problems, but she had a wonderful gift. And that gift was the gift of faith. Peter had walked on the water. We would thought, boy, that was a lot of faith for Peter to walk on the water. But Peter got his eyes off the Lord. And as soon as he looked at the troubled sea and got his eyes off the Lord, he went down into the water. And a chapter before this, you can read where the Lord said, "O ye of little faith, how little is your faith?" He doesn't say that to this little woman. He says to her, "Oh, such great faith." And where did that faith come from? Well, I'll tell you, the little faith Peter had came from the Lord, and the great faith this little sister had came from the Lord. And if you and I have faith today, and I don't know why you'd be here if you didn't have faith. I don't know why you would be singing hymns to a God you cannot see or hear or know if you didn't have faith. I believe you believe that He is. Do you believe that He is today? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe He has the power to help you? Do you believe He has a love for His people? If you have those things, it's because the gift that was given to her has also been given to you, and you and I are to exercise that as this little sister did without any view of the consequences of what happens as a result of that. We are to trust God. Like Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." That's easy to say, isn't it? That's easy for me to preach. When it comes time to practice it, sometimes I say, "Lord, where are you?" You don't see this little woman saying, "Lord, where are you?" I'm going to read it. He says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him." Over in the writings of Mark, it says she fell down before him. She fell down at her, can you see her falling down at his feet? Walking up there, falling down at his feet. And she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Now in that she said, she didn't come in and say, "Life has treated me unfairly. I don't deserve what's going on." She doesn't even say, "Have mercy on my daughter." She sees the problem with her daughter being her problem. She sees the trouble in her life as being her trouble. She had been blessed of God to know what she really deserves. Do you and I know really today what we deserve? What is the wage of sin? Is it any good thing in the wage of sin? How many of us have done anything but sin? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. That we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that if we got today just what we would deserve, we wouldn't have one single good thing in our life. This little woman understood that she needed something from Jesus. It wasn't what she deserved. It wasn't what she merited. It wasn't what she earned. Oh, that the Pharisees had had a little of that knowledge. They wouldn't have treated Jesus the way they did. This little woman came treating Jesus like she knew, "This man has done nothing wrong, but I have done all things wrong. So please, dear Lord, have mercy on me." She also recognized He had power. It's wonderful to know that He has mercy. That is, He would share with us that which we would not have. And He would not give us what we deserve, but He deal with us according to His mercy. But it's also a wonderful thing to know He has power. Do you know He has power today? Whatever you stand in need of today, we have a God who has the power to give you whatever you stand in need of. His promise is that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His promise is that as we look to Him and call upon Him, He won't not give us any good thing for which we ask. Now notice I didn't say He won't give you everything you ask. He won't never give you what you ask. Let me get this right. Oh, I want to go fast and I want to say it. When I ask the Lord for something, if it's good for me, He'll give it to me. But if I ask Him for something that's not for good for me, He will not grant those things that are not good for His children. When God answers prayer, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait. In this case, it seemed like He didn't answer her at all. The Scripture says she cried unto Him, "O Lord, Thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And it wasn't just her daughter. We read over an account in Mark, it's a little daughter, a little girl, a little one. Can you imagine what you wouldn't do if your little girl was in trouble? I've got a little girl that's still my little girl. When she's in trouble, I need to take her to the Lord and leave it there and realize He has the power. In this case it says, "And He answered her not a word." He answered her not a word. How much she have felt. Sometimes, you know, we talk about sometimes if I go somewhere and nobody speaks to me, then I'm not going back. Or if I do this or I do that and I don't get a response, or when I cry unto God, sometimes we get concerned in our prayers. We're praying and it doesn't. Have you ever been there where you're praying and it doesn't seem like you're getting an answer, and you're asking God for help and it doesn't seem like you get an answer, and you just keep going back and saying, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me," but you don't seem to get a response? It's almost like He's not listening. It's almost like He's not hearing. Remember, the Scripture tells us about the trial of our faith. Not only our faith that's more precious than gold, but over in 1 Peter it says, but the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. And the Lord brings us into those places in our life, just as He had brought this little sister into this place in her life, where her faith, which He had given her, is shown evident to all those around her, as He says not a word to her. And this little sister didn't go away and said, "Well, He didn't hear me. He didn't have time for me." She just kept on asking. As a matter of fact, she started bothering the disciples. It says, "He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" They sounded like a loving bunch, didn't they? The disciples. You know, I do believe they wanted her to get an answer, but they really wanted her just to leave us alone. That's basically what they were saying. Now the response of Jesus doesn't say, "Send her away empty." I believe they cried unto Jesus, "Send her away." But their prayers were more out of the trouble she was causing them. They were, in other words, they wanted to help her. But they wanted to help her so she quit bothering him. You ever just help somebody so they just quit bothering you? I'm glad you helped them. But the way we ought to help one another is not just so they would quit bothering us. But oh, isn't it good she kept bothering him? She was just right there. And he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." And he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And this is a Gentile woman. She's thinking, "Well, there's nothing in that for me." And yet she also understood, he said, "First, let the children be fed." He's going to first feed the. He was sent first to the Jews. He was sent in His ministry to the Jews. He was sent to the Jews. But aren't you thankful that there were some of His elect among the Gentiles? That He was not only going to be a light for the Jewish nation and for the Jewish people, that is the elect among the Jewish people, but He was also going to be a light for the Gentiles. And here we see a little earnest of that, a little foretaste of that when it comes to this little sister. And I believe He traveled all those 30 miles plus just for her. And He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she. Did she walk away? Did she leave? Where are we? Did she give up? Did she quit praying? She quit asking? She said, "I'm done with this. This don't work." Let me tell you, dear ones, there's nowhere else. Where could we go but to the Lord? There's nowhere else for us to turn. There's no one else for us to lean on. There's only one God. And that God is the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. She recognized Him as God. And she was saying really in her heart, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, and I love her prayer. You know, sometimes we say, "I don't know what to pray. I don't know what the words to get out." And we do not. But I'll tell you, this is one we ought to be praying each and every time. It was just a simple, short prayer. She said, "Lord," she acknowledged Him, "hallowed be Thy name." And she said, "Help me." Isn't it wonderful to know we can go to the Lord and ask Him for help, and He'll help you? I see a congregation of people. Some of you I know of times you've gone to the Lord, and I know He's helped you. He's been there for you. I know in my own experience there's times I've gone to Him and He's helped me. How many times has He helped me? And God forbid that I should be afraid today, because the Lord who has helped me in times past is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can trust and lean upon Him. And this is written in the Word of God that we might understand that. And He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." You know what He basically said to her? "You're a dog. You know, that's one thing you and I need to understand today about what we deserve from the Lord. Do we deserve any benefit from His hand? Do we deserve any blessing? No, I'm just a dog, but I'm a begging dog. And I'm just a dog sitting in the Master's house. And I'm at the Master's table. And though I may be just a dog, even the dogs get to feed. And that's what she was blessed to see and to know. She said, "Truth, Lord." In other words, she didn't argue with Him. You know what the old nature tells us? And well, boy, they're going to talk to me like that. I'll tell you what the gospel will do. It'll tell you you're rotten and you're no good because your mom and daddy were rotten and no good, because your grandparents were not rotten and no good, and your whole lineage is all messed up. And if you go in the flesh, you'll get mad at that and walk out. The reality of, we can say with her, can't we? Truth, Lord. But she says, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the Master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." Do you think Jesus just discovered that? Do you think He just knew that? I believe He knew it before He ever left the Sea of Galilee. I believe He knew who He was going to see. I believe He knew what He was going to encounter. I believe He knew she was going to be there. I believe He went there for her. I believe that He understood her faith. I believe He had the trial of her faith, which did come through more precious than gold, because it was under the honor and the praise and the glory of Almighty God. That was the end result of all she had gone through. Brethren, when we go through challenges and troubles in life, we can count it all joy when we recognize, as we trust in the Lord, He will come through each and every time just as He has promised. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Can you imagine her traveling? I don't know how far her home was, but can you imagine her traveling back to her home? You know what you and I would probably be doing? We'd be sitting there wondering, is she going to be okay when I get there? Is she going to be all right? I believe this little woman went, like Brother Danny said, that army went into the battle, already proclaiming victory. I believe she went home just expecting, as she walked in the door, to find her daughter right where she was. Over in Mark it says she was laying on her bed. And there she was. Well, I'm telling you, you and I have a God who's worthy of our trust and worthy of our praise. He has promised for us eternal life, and with Him in glory. Every single day that we live, we can lean upon Him and trust in Him. Some days it may seem like He's not answering. Some days it may seem like the answer comes mighty hard. Brethren, just remember, just trust Him and lean upon Him. He will not fail and cannot fail. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Oh, if I could just practice that, Brother John.